Public health experts have estimated that because of the epidemic of obesity in the U.S. and its consequences for diabetes and other conditions, the United States faces a historic prospect that for the first time in our history, the next generation of Americans will live sicker and shorter lives than their parents. But today, I want to talk to you about a different health reform plan. A plan more important than President Clinton's plan. A plan more comprehensive than President Obama's plan. A plan for your health that was conceived even before you were born. And it is designed to give you the optimum health. And the good news is, there is no secrecy about this plan. The goal of this plan is simple. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly."
This is the IPSI SDA Media Network.
Good morning, Ypsilanti. Oh, good afternoon, Ypsilanti. It's really good to be here with you. Always good to come back home. I was thinking that I'm teaching. I have, next week is my last week of teaching for the semester. And this is the end of my sixth academic year at Harvard University. And it doesn't seem like it's 6 years since I left Ypsilanti. Feels like only yesterday. But God is good, and it's really good to come back and be with you and to see everybody looking so well. I think you're doing something right about health. Everyone is looking so well. I want to embarrass a couple people this morning. So I want Alana Woolley to stand again. I am so thrilled and touched that she came. Could you stand, Alana? Thank you so much. You can be seated. I want the folks at Ypsilanti to know her. I'm sure this is her first time here at Ypsilanti. She was my student at Harvard, finished a master's in public health with me, got accepted to Harvard to do a doctorate, also got accepted to the University of Michigan, and she's now at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Finished her second year in the doctoral program, and she heard I was going to be in town. I'm not sure how, but she's here, so I was really touched that Alana and her friend came with her. So really nice to see you. And I want Ypsi to see her so that they can be nice to her and she'll come back. I want to embarrass somebody else at Ypsi. Kathy Boyle, Auntie Kathy, could you please stand for a minute? Everybody knows you, but I embarrass her because, thank you, Kathy, please be seated. I saw her son, Chris, a few weeks ago when I was in Loma Linda, and he came up to see us. I want to tell you, Kathy is symbolic of the folks at Ypsi. You know how Kathy spent yesterday? She's been telling Alicia that anytime you want to come to Ypsi, just let me know and I'll come. I'll drive 2.5 hours to Barron Springs and pick you up and take you up. And Lisi happened to call a few weeks ago, and Lisi was needed to get out of the dorm yesterday. And Kathy went down and spent the day helping Lisi move out of her dorm and then drove her up to Ypsi last night. And that's just so symbolic of the folks at Ypsi and the family we have here. And Kathy, you don't have to say anything. That's okay. I just shared his resume with the president of Loma Linda, but that's all I did. So he had a record to stand on, you know. And I saw Graham here this morning. She just came. That's Susan Maycock's mother, who adopted my wife as her daughter. And so she came out to see us. I don't want to keep going and going. I'm just so thrilled to be back home and so many people. Opal's mom is here, and her brother drove up from Ohio and family. And Pat Mills told me this morning that she sent me a Facebook message this week praying for traveling mercies as I travel. And those of you who don't know, this is a special thing we've had for years. Pat doesn't like to fly and just can't believe that I fly as much as I do, you know. Pat, I'll be in Madison, Wisconsin next week. I was in D.C. this week. I was in New Orleans and Huntsville the week before that. Give you a feel. I'm on a plane all the time, and Pat prays for me all the time. And so, Pat, continue to pray. But God is good, and I'm doing okay. I want to remind you all, there's a special program this afternoon at 3:30. Diabetes is growing rapidly in the United States. Public health experts have estimated that because of the epidemic of obesity in the U.S. and its consequences for diabetes and other conditions, the United States faces a historic prospect that for the first time in our history, the next generation of Americans will live sicker and shorter lives than their parents. And there's a lot that we know about what can be done about diabetes. And the information I'm going to share with you, your doctor is not going to share with you, and probably your registered dietitian will not, because it's brand new, relatively new scientific research that documents we actually know what to do to control and in many cases even reverse diabetes. It's all within our hands, and I'll share with you the science, your doctor, dietitian, have them come this afternoon. I'll share with them validated scientific research from peer-reviewed published publications showing what we can do about this epidemic in our society. This morning, though, I decided to talk on the topic, Seven Secrets to Better Health. Seven Secrets to Better Health. And all the secrets I'm going to draw on the Bible, but then show you recent scientific research that elaborates on these findings. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father in heaven, this is your time. The words of sinful mortal man cannot suffice. We need to see Jesus today and hear from him today. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, because you are strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It was back in 1992 that I got a telephone call from a colleague at another university. And he called to let me know that I was being asked to serve as an academic advisor to one of the working groups that was working on President Clinton's task force on healthcare reform. The task force was developing plans to improve the health system and healthcare in the United States. It was largely working behind the scenes, drafting plans. So secret were the deliberations that I had to agree to an oath of secrecy that I wouldn't share anything I heard. And he told me that he wanted me to come to the meeting the following week. And he told me I needed to read some materials for that meeting. But he said, I'm going to call you just before I fax them, because you need to be personally standing at a fax machine to take it out of the fax machine yourself, because this is top secret. So I stood by the fax, got the papers out of the fax, read them. There was nothing that secret about it, but that's what he had said. It required a major commitment of my time. I remember twice during the process, I got a call at 8 p.m. at home in the evening saying, we need you in Washington, D.C. 8:30 tomorrow morning. I said, you're kidding. He said, yes, you need to be in D.C. 8:30 tomorrow morning. So I had to scramble, call my secretary at home, tell her, cancel my schedule tomorrow. I've got to go to D.C., catch a 7 o'clock flight, the Northwest flight. I miss Northwest. Catch a Northwest flight out of Detroit and get to D.C. But today, I want to talk to you about a different health reform plan. A plan more important than President Clinton's plan. A plan more comprehensive than President Obama's plan. A plan for your health that was conceived even before you were born. And it is designed to give you the optimum health. And the good news is, there is no secrecy about this plan. The goal of this plan is simple. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And God's plan for good health is spelled out in detail in the Bible. We see his plan for our health in many places. But there's one place I want us to focus on this morning, and that's the story of creation. According to the Bible, God made man on the sixth day of creation. But even before he created man, he put in place everything that man would need in order to have an abundant life and good health. And that's exactly how God operates. All the time. The Bible says that God is omniscient, a fancy word that just means he knows everything. Which means, if he knows everything, In your life, practically, you need to remind yourself that God is never taken by surprise. There's no problem you will ever encounter, no difficulty that you will ever face, no perplexing question, no high-stress situation that catches God off guard. Before your problem was ever conceived, God knew it was coming, and he had put in place everything that you would need to deal with that problem. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. He will never give you more than you can handle, and there will be a way of escape for you to deal with it. Not only is God omniscient, means he knows everything, he's also omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. He spares no expense. He leaves no stone unturned that you will have whatever you need to deal with whatever life throws you. So in Genesis chapter 1, we can see God in a very careful, systematic, deliberate, and progressive manner putting in place everything that Adam and Eve would need in order to have abundant life. And all of these conditions that he put in place in Genesis 1 are still key ingredients of health reform. And in the creation story, we can find the seven secrets of good health. So on the first day of creation, God said, "Let there be light," and he divided the light from the darkness, and he created the day and the night. In constant succession, the Bible tells us, he put a rhythm in place. The day for light, the night for darkness. The cycle of day and night God put in place reminds us that for optimal health, we need a cycle of work and rest. It reminds us, and this is the first secret to good health, that getting adequate sleep is very important to health. There is literally an explosion of scientific research in the last decade that is telling us that getting adequate sleep is much, much more important than we ever thought. I'll give you a few examples of the research on sleep. Research shows that if you drive after being awake for 18 hours, your driving effectiveness is just as impaired as if you were legally drunk. If you have been awake for 24 hours, your driving ability is as impaired as if you had had 4 to 6 drinks of alcohol. And sleep deprivation affects more than just your driving ability. Recent research shows that losing 3 hours of sleep can reduce the functioning of your immune system by 50%. Your ability to fight off disease is reduced by 50%. Across the United States, studies find that the week after final exams or the week after midterm exams, there's a surge in the number of students going to the health service because they were up late studying for the exams. Their immune systems are weak, more vulnerable to disease. Other research finds that sleep deprivation can increase your risk of heart attacks, cancer, diabetes, and obesity. Research also reveals that melatonin is a hormone produced by the pineal gland in response to darkness. One of its important functions is that it has antioxidant capabilities. That's a fancy way of saying it has anti-aging capabilities. It helps you not to age. In order to optimize melatonin, it is important to sleep in the dark and to avoid bright lights while we sleep. So sleeping with the television on is not a good idea. I know there are many health professionals in the audience, and it is often necessary to work at night. The scientific evidence, though, is clear and consistent that working at night is associated with increased risk of many diseases. For example, studies of flight attendants and of nurses indicate that those who work at night are more likely to get breast cancer, for example, than those who don't. Just one example. But my point is that even before God created man, he established a sleep-wake cycle so that Adam and Eve could have a healthy, abundant life. Sleep is one of the most important elements in the process of healing and to give each of us good health. In the beginning, God invented sleep. Just 2 weeks ago, there was a symposium on sleep at Harvard University. Let me just share with you a few findings that were presented at that symposium. Sleep is so important that sleep deprivation has been used as a reliable form of torture for centuries. The Nazis used it during the Holocaust. The KGB used it in the old Soviet Union. The South African government used it during apartheid. And the Pentagon admits that the US is using it against Iraqi soldiers in Guantanamo. Going without sleep is so stressful that it is difficult for you to think straight after you are sleep deprived. It is difficult to think coherently when you are sleep deprived, which is one important reason why we need to get good sleep. Let me give the medical professionals here findings from studies of medical residents. Many of them, after their second year, now have to work a 30-hour shift. Working a 30-hour shift increases medical errors in intensive care units by 36%. Doctors who work a 30-hour shift, it increases serious diagnostic mistakes by 460%. It increases the risk of a physician sticking himself or herself with a needle by 73%. It increases the physician's risk of having a car crash while driving home by 168%. This data is so powerful that the European Union has voted that in the European Union, medical residents and staff can work no more than 48 hours a week. The Americans haven't done it yet for financial reasons, but for health reasons, the evidence is overwhelming. And this applies to every level. And I'm talking more about sleep and I'll talk about other problems because we tend not to pay attention to it. This applies to even our students. In a few school districts in the United States, they've decided to start the school day later. An hour later, it reduces absenteeism, it improves mental health of students, it improves academic performance. If you start the school day an hour later, the kids can get more sleep. It leads to fewer car accidents among teens driving to school. What I'm saying to you this morning is that recent scientific research is finding that a good night of sleep is as important to your health as a healthy diet and regular exercise. And when we are sleep deprived, the hormones that control our appetite actually are elevated so that we eat more high calorie, high junk, sugary foods and sodas. And that's one of the links between sleep deprivation and increased obesity, diabetes and heart disease. And we're talking about disparities today. The research shows in the United States, poor people get less sleep than middle class people, and minorities get less sleep than the white population, and minority males in particular, black men, are the single most disadvantaged group in getting adequate sleep. So we have a way to go to get all the benefits of sleep that God wants us to have. So I'm encouraging you all to use that blessing that God has given us of sleep. But in addition to sleep, what else did Adam and Eve need? On day two, the Bible says God created air. The Bible calls it the firmament. Oxygen is one of the body's most important physical needs. God knew that health is improved by breathing fresh air, so he created an environment filled with fresh air for Adam and Eve. That's day two. So we've talked about sleep. We're also talking about the importance of fresh air. On the third day of creation, what did God create? The earth, the grass, fruits, herbs. God created nutrition on the third day of creation. God created, the Bible tells us in Genesis, a diet rich in fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, and whole grains. And to emphasize the point in a somewhat hilarious way, I want to share with you an email I got some years ago about creation and obesity. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he populated the earth with potatoes and yams and corn and spinach and green and yellow and red vegetables of all kinds, so that man and woman would live long and healthy lives. Then, using God's great gifts, Satan created ice cream and pizza and donuts. And Satan said, "Do you want chocolate with that?" And man said, "Yes." And woman said, "As long as you're at it, add some sprinkles." And they gained 10 pounds. And Satan smiled. And God created mangoes and pineapples and fruits of many kinds, that the woman might keep the figure that man found so fair. And Satan brought forth white flour from the wheat, and sugar from the cane, and corn syrup from the corn, and he combined them. And the woman went from size 6 to size 14. And God said, "Try my fresh green salad." And Satan presented Thousand Island dressing and buttery croutons and garlic toast with loaves of butter on the side. And the man and woman unfastened their belts following the repast. And God said, "I have sent you heart-healthy vegetables." And Satan brought forth deep-fried fish and chicken-fried steak so big that it needed its own platter. And man gained more weight, and his cholesterol went through the roof. Then God brought running shoes for his children, that they might lose the extra pounds, and Satan gave them cable TV with a remote control, so that man would not have to toil in changing the channels. And man and woman laughed and cried before the flickering blue light, and evenings and mornings went by, and man and woman gained more and more pounds. Then God brought forth the potato, naturally low in fat and brimming with nutrition. And Satan peeled off the healthful skin and sliced the starchy center into chips and deep fried them. And man gained pounds. God then gave them peas and beans of many kinds that they might get adequate protein. And Satan created Burger King and McDonald's and 99 cents double cheese burgers, and then said, "You want fries with that?" And man replied, "Yes," and supersized them. And Satan said, "It is good." And man went into cardiac arrest. God sighed, and he created quadruple bypass surgery. But then Satan created coronary intensive care units. It's a little funny, but it's profound if you stop and think about it. Scientific evidence is now abundant that eating a diet high in whole grains and fruits and vegetables reduces your risk of cardiovascular disease, heart disease and stroke, cancer and diabetes, and a broad range of various conditions. I could go on and on. I'll talk a little bit more about some of the scientific research this afternoon and how important carbohydrates are to our diet. We have a bad rap, carbohydrates have gotten. We need to eat more carbohydrates if we're going to be good health. High, complex carbohydrates. I'll explain that this afternoon if you don't understand what I'm talking about. The bottom line is, on our diet, scientific evidence is overwhelming and clear that a diet high in fruits and vegetables, whole grains, protects us against all of the major chronic illnesses. Doesn't mean you're not going to get sick. I can't guarantee that. It means while you live, you'll live healthier. We still live in an evil world. And, you know, the devil brought disease upon Job, so we can still get sick when we're doing the right thing. But our diet plays an enormous role. So important is this, that more than a decade ago, the United States government recommended that every American needs to eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. 5. And recently, based on the science, the government says 5 is not enough. We need 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. And to make it simple for us, what the government has recently said, for good health, half your plate should be fruits and vegetables. Let's make it simple. Half of your plate should be fruits and vegetables. That's one way to get the fruits and vegetables you need. Science is only now discovering the brilliance and accuracy of the dietary plan God gave Adam and Eve at creation. It's a confirmation of the truth of the Genesis story that it's the one that is needed to give us a good life. It's a reminder that the Bible is true, that if you believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. And if you believe his prophets, you shall prosper. Let me give you one example of the power of diet to make an enormous difference. Former President Bill Clinton was famous for his love of burgers and steaks and barbecue and chicken enchiladas and junk food. When Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas, he would work a McDonald's stop into his morning job. When he was campaigning for president, for the presidency at one campaign stop in New Hampshire, he bought a dozen donuts and was working his way through the entire box of donuts all by himself until one of his aides took the box from him and stopped him. In 2004, less than 4 years after leaving the office of the presidency at the age of 58, Bill Clinton had quadruple bypass surgery to restore blood flow to his heart. After surgery, Bill Clinton cut down on calories and lowered his cholesterol in his diet, but it wasn't enough. In early 2010, just after coming back from supporting the earthquake relief efforts in Haiti, he needed more surgery to prop open a blocked heart artery with two stents. That's when Dr. Dean Ornish shared the research of Dr. Colwyn Esselin and others with Bill Clinton. This research shows that a more intensive dietary changes can actually reverse the progression of heart disease in most people. And Bill Clinton made profound changes in the way he eats. He switched to a whole foods, plant-based diet. Yes, Bill Clinton is vegan. He eats no meat, no dairy, no eggs, and virtually no oil. His cholesterol has gone down dramatically. He has lost 24 pounds. He is feeling better than he's ever had. Dr. Sanjay Gupta interviewed him on CNN, and he said to Sanjay Gupta, "All my blood tests are good, and my vital signs are good, and I feel good, and I also believe it, he says, I now have more energy." And Bill Clinton's goal, he said, is to get down to 185 pounds. That's what he weighed when he was 13 years old. We can learn from Bill Clinton today because he is enjoying the blessings of good health that's outlined in the book of Genesis. Dr. Colin Campbell, a Cornell University nutritionist, wrote a book about the importance of nutrition, drawing on his research in China. It's called The China Diet, The China Study. And one of the things he points out in his book, he said there's an epidemic of chronic disease in the United States. And he says it's caused by three factors responsible for the epidemic of chronic disease: breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So there's much we can do about our good health. But let's continue. Other secrets to good health, in addition to nutrition. On the fourth day, we're looking at what God put in place before man came in place, and all the conditions for good health, the secrets of good health, were put in place by God. The fourth day of creation, Genesis 1, 14 to 19, God made lights in the heaven, the sun, the moon, and stars. I talked about the explosion of research on sleep. The other area where there's an explosion of research is on the importance of sunlight and vitamin D for good health, and how damaging the problem of vitamin D deficiency is for our health. Getting adequate vitamin D can ease tension, increase immunity, improve sleep, enhance mood and mental health, reduce your risk of heart disease, lower your blood pressure, reduce your risk of diabetes, and help to prevent certain types of cancer. Vitamin D is a, in fact, vitamin D is not even a vitamin, it's a hormone. And vitamin D is important for all of that. And we're talking about disparities? There's an epidemic of vitamin D deficiency in the United States. National data from the United States government, the NHANES National Study, finds 60% of white Americans are vitamin D deficient, 60%. 70% of Hispanics are vitamin D deficient. And 80% of African Americans are vitamin D deficient. 80% of blacks are vitamin D deficient. And if you live north of to a latitude line that would be correspond to north of Atlanta and Los Angeles, you get absolutely no vitamin D from being outside in the sun during the winter months. And that is, it's linked to the solar zenith angle and the ability your body will make vitamin D if you go outside. If you're like me with darker skin, you need to spend more time outside to get the vitamin D that you need. Science is only now discovering how important vitamin D is for your health. But God's health improvement plan included vitamin D from the beginning. Let me share with you, for example, some recent research on vitamin D. It plays a bigger role, I mentioned, in fighting disease than we previously thought. Lack of vitamin D is now associated with many chronic diseases, such like osteoporosis, heart disease, some cancers, multiple sclerosis, the autoimmune diseases. Vitamin D deficiency is also related to an increased risk of some infectious diseases like tuberculosis and even the seasonal flu. The Canadian Cancer Society, because Canada is north of that latitude line, everybody in Canada doesn't get vitamin D in the winter months. The Canadian Cancer Society is recommending that every Canadian adult should take vitamin D supplements of at least 1,000 international units per day during the fall and winter. And they have said that people who are at high risk need to take vitamin D supplements all the time. And who are high-risk people? If you're elderly, if you're dark, have dark skin, and if you spend little time in the sun, you need to take vitamin D supplements all the time. Why is vitamin D so important? Let me just say it again. Research reveals that if you take vitamin D supplements, I take vitamin D supplements, started to the last few years when I saw the research. It was overwhelming. And I went to my doctor and I told him, can you run a vitamin D test? I was deficient even after I had started to take vitamin D. I was still deficient. What do vitamin D supplements do? The research shows it increases bone and muscle strength and leads to fewer bone fractures among the elderly. 2, vitamin D protects your heart. Your heart is a large muscle, and your heart has vitamin D receptors on the heart muscle. Vitamin D also helps to control your blood pressure and prevent arterial damage. One recent study found of health professional men in the U.S. followed for 10 years that men low in vitamin D were twice as likely to get a heart attack than those who had adequate vitamin D. 3, vitamin D reduces cancer. The evidence is strongest for colorectal cancer. Rates of colorectal cancer are much higher in the northern part of the United States where we live than way in the deep south. Closer to the equator, rates are much lower, just in the U.S. For breast cancer, the evidence is more mixed. Vitamin D doesn't seem, the data is inconsistent whether it actually protects against breast cancer. What it does, though, if you got breast cancer and you have adequate vitamin D, you will live longer, you'll have less severe symptoms. You do better, so the survival of breast cancer is enhanced with adequate vitamin D. Vitamin D, importantly, just like I said for sleep, leads to improved immune function, and they've now documented of the benefits of vitamin D for all the autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis or type 1 diabetes and so on. And the most intriguing hypothesis that has recently been offered by 2 British scientists about vitamin D is, have you ever considered that the flu, the seasonal flu, some of you I'm sure get flu shots. When is the time when the seasonal flu does its most damage? In the winter months. In the winter months, that's when our levels of vitamin D are absolutely lowest. And there's some evidence, there's a randomized controlled trial from Japan that showed given kids vitamin D protects them from getting at least some of the viruses, the cold viruses, during the winter months. Powerful information of the importance of vitamin D for good health. Again, I'm saying, God wants us to have life more abundantly,
and you see all the secrets of good health in the creation story. But that's not all. Day five of creation. God created the fish and the fowl and so on. And what we see in day five, the health lesson, is the importance of water. Millions of Americans are chronically dehydrated, and they are aging more quickly and dying younger because of chronic dehydration. Recent research suggests that as many as 75% of Americans are dehydrated. We don't drink enough water. What are some of the benefits of increased water intake? Reduced risk of heart disease, reduced risk of colorectal cancer and some other kinds of cancer, improved kidney function, protections against urinary tract infection. Drinking water also increases your metabolic rate. Drinking 6 glasses of water a day can lead to a higher metabolic rate that would result in a loss of 5 pounds per year. Your basic metabolic rate refers to the fact that right now your body is burning calories even while you are sitting in church. And while you were sleeping last night, your body was burning calories. So one of the keys to weight loss is to increase the level at which your body burns calories. Exercise does that. You burn calories at a higher rate even after you're not exercising. But one of the things that does it also is being sufficiently hydrated. So drinking a lot of water actually increases your metabolic rate and does well for good health. Another trick with water, there's a recent study that shows that people at night who get a hunger pang and you feel you just got to eat something, the researchers find that it's often not a hunger pang, it's a thirst pang. And in this study they found that women, it was a study of women, who were told ahead of time, when you feel hungry at night, have a bottle of water ready to drink. And they drank water, they lost weight. Just by drinking water every time you thought you were hungry, your mind is tricking you, you're thirsty, drink water and you'll be fine. The sixth day of creation, moving along here quickly. There are two principles of good health in the sixth day. God made Adam, but he didn't only make Adam, he made Adam and Eve. Social relationships, fellowship, the importance of good quality social ties and getting along with others. Some research indicates that being socially isolated is as bad for your health as cigarette smoking. Let me state that differently for the one who wants to technically know what I'm saying. Research shows that the relationship between social isolation and all-cause mortality in the United States is as strong as the relationship between cigarette smoking and all-cause mortality. Social isolation is as bad for your health as cigarette smoking. So social support is good for your health. And that's why God created the Ypsilanti Church. God created the church because he wanted a community of support, a community of fellowship. That's why God made families, so that we would be there supportive for each other. But there's something else in the sixth day. God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them the garden to dress and keep. He gave them work. And Adam and Eve were given work in order to have good health. After man's sin, God increased the intensity of the exercise, and he said, "By the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread." And when God gave the Ten Commandments, just in case we forgot, he said, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. In the time of Adam and Eve, and even in the time of our grandparents, people could get enough exercise just from their work. They had to go out and get the wood to have the fire going. They had to go walk to get the water and so forth. They were vigorously engaged in exercise all the time. Unfortunately, in the more contemporary modern era, most of us don't get enough exercise from our work. So we need to make sure that we plan to go out and get regular exercise. Social ties, social fellowship, and exercise are other secrets of good health in the creation story. And finally, in the creation story, on the seventh day, God created the Sabbath. A major problem in contemporary society is stress. People are overworked, overburdened, and stressed out. And one of God's most creative health provisions is found in the creation story and is buried in the Ten Commandments itself. And moreover, because God knows that we have a short memory and we have a tendency to forget, he introduced this commandment with the word remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath was given by God to prevent physical exhaustion, to prevent mental overtaxation, to prevent spiritual atrophy. The Sabbath brings us a weekly reassurance that hope and our origin and our destiny is rooted in God. The Sabbath also provides rest from all labor. God says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. I want to let you know, in the last 6 days, I didn't do all my work. I still have work undone in my office, but I can rest on the Sabbath as if all my work was done. The Sabbath gives me a sense of completeness. We are invited by God to rest at the end of every week as if all of our work was done. We are to view our work and our lives in the light of God's accomplishments. In other words, we are to forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and be reminded that his grace is sufficient for us. One of the most effective strategies that is recommended in stress management seminars everywhere is that in order to work, in order to cope with stress, we need to take a vacation. We need to take a break. We need to take a time out. We need to get away from it all. This break can provide new perspective, can provide new energy as we come back from that break to deal with the other things that we have to do. And God has planned for our good health a weekly mini vacation. A time out for 24 hours each week. We can get away from it all. We can leave our daily work. We can leave our daily worries behind in order to enter the presence and the peace of God. Amidst the difficult and hectic world of our everyday life, God wants the Sabbath to be our sea of tranquility, where we can safely harbor and find peace and rest in him. We live in a world, I say, where people work hard to gain more and more, but are satisfied with less and less. God designed the Sabbath to curb the unbounded seeking after material things. God designed the Sabbath to curb our greediness and selfishness. God designed the Sabbath to remind us that we must stop being greedy and start being grateful. The spirit of thanksgiving and praise that time with God can promote encourages healing and health. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So God is interested in our health, and God is giving us guidelines for our health. But many of us are confused about what God is really trying to accomplish. I'm going to close this morning with a story. It's a story I've told at IPSI before, but it's worth repeating. It's a true story of when I was growing up. I don't know exactly how old I was, but it was somewhere around age 3 or 4. I loved to eat things that were not good for me. One of the things I loved to eat was toothpaste. Colgate toothpaste. So much so that my mother would have to put the toothpaste at a level at which I couldn't reach it because it was good. I still think Colgate tastes special, but I don't eat it the way I did. But I loved to eat something even more than Colgate toothpaste. And that was dirt. Plain, old, ordinary dirt. And I remember one day my mother had to run an errand and she left me with my grandmother. Beautiful day in the Caribbean, and my grandmother had me outside in her backyard, and I quickly made myself comfortable on the ground, and my grandmother was inside. I didn't know she was looking out through the window, and made myself comfortable and started to scoop up handfuls of dirt and eat it.
And my grandmother looked out the window and saw what I was doing, and she came out in a grandmother's voice and called me. And I knew I was in deep trouble. And as I walked into the kitchen, I braced myself for what was going to happen next. But I was surprised. My grandmother took me over to the sink and told me to wash my hands. I'm still waiting for the boom to drop, but nothing happened. My grandmother reached up on a shelf where she had a jar with candy, those soft candy with sugar all over it, and she took a handful of those candy out and placed in my hand. And she said, "I don't want you eating dirt anymore. Eat these instead. And anytime you feel like eating dirt, ask me and I will give you more." My love for dirt evaporated that day. I have never eaten dirt again. I've never been interested in eating dirt again. And my grandmother, who only had a third grade education, was a brilliant psychologist. Because what did she do? She took away something that was bad for me, and she gave me something better. And that's exactly what God is doing for each of us. He's trying to take away from us things that we are doing that's in destroying ourselves, and he has given us something better. And many of us think that we're going to get hurt, and we're going to lose out, and we're going to miss something if we follow God's guidelines for our health. But God is like my grandmother. He is simply giving us something better. God is looking out for us. All that God ever wants you to do is for your good. God loved you so much that he died for you. And the biggest lie that exists in the world is that serving God, obeying God, being faithful to God will hurt you. Anything God asks you to do is for your best. He will never ask you to give up anything that is worth keeping. He will never ask you to do anything that is not 100% in your best possible interest. And this can be very difficult for us to believe because we are trapped by habit, we are trapped by custom, we are trapped by what we are accustomed to. But Jesus came to remind us that God wants us to have good health. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. My prayer this morning is that we would follow the example and the principles of good health that are found in Scripture. And if we can view God in a different light and recognize that Psalm 16:11 is true, which promises in his presence there is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God is looking out for our happiness. God wants to be our Savior. He wants to be our Lord. And if we follow him, he wants to fulfill the promises that was read so beautifully this morning in our scripture reading that I closed the message with this morning. Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He wants to give power to those who are faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But here is the promise. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is interested in our health, and he's given us the principles of good health. I want to wait on him this morning. I want to ask him to give me the power, give me the strength that I can live a healthy life. Why? So I can live a long life? Not really, but so I can live a good life that is in harmony with him, and that I will have the energy and strength to do the things that he wants me to do, to give him my talents and my time and everything that I have so that I can make a difference in this world. How many this morning want to stand with me and say, "Lord, I too
want to wait on you so that you will renew your strength, so that we can mount up with wings as eagles and we can accomplish all the things you want us to. I want to have a prayer of dedication before we sing our closing hymn. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your thoughtfulness in preparing everything that we would need to have good health. Lord, we have not been aware of all of the benefits that you want to provide to us. We have not been aware of all of the blessings that exist in following the outline of your principles of good health. As we have learned today, Lord, we know that in our own strength we are weak, and we can accomplish nothing in our strength. But we claim your promises that if we only acknowledge our weakness, your strength will be made perfect in our weakness, because your grace is sufficient for each of us. Bless the decisions and commitments we make today for you in general, not just for our health, but for every aspect of our life, as we give ourselves to you and ask you to use us to be a blessing to others, is our prayer in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.